you bribe the right politicians in the right order at the right time, you can trade the nuclear warheads for medicine, and it's not even a crime. $1 on clinical trials, $600 on making you dead. Your leaders aren't evil.
Getting 195 countries to agree costs billions and takes forever. No, getting countries to implement things costs billions. Getting them to sign papers is surprisingly cheap. Humans love signing papers. It makes them feel important. Your entire diplomatic system runs on the principle that writing your name on a document feels like accomplishing something. Sometimes it is. Usually it isn't, but the signing part is always affordable. What treaties actually cost. NGO campaign budgets are rarely disclosed publicly, but treaty campaigns run on pocket change compared to the thing they create. The Ottawa Treaty banning landmines took 14 months. One staff member, Jody Williams, grew a coalition to over 1,000 organizations across 60 countries. 122 states signed. She won the Nobel Peace Prize. One woman, with a phone, convinced 122 countries to stop burying explosives in the ground where children walk. Your species is capable of remarkable things when one person gets sufficiently annoyed. The Cluster Munitions Convention took about 2 years. Seven governments and a coalition of NGOs got 94 states to sign. The Arms Trade Treaty took a decade, but started with three supporting governments. The Control Arms Coalition published 50-plus reports until 130 countries signed. The Nuclear Ban Treaty also took a decade. The International Campaign to Abolish Nuclear Weapons, or ICAN, ran the entire operation with five staff in a Geneva office. 122 states voted yes. Another Nobel Prize. Five people in a Geneva office won a Nobel Prize. You have more people in your accounting department. Pattern. Total to get a treaty signed, $15 to $50 million. Your species spends more than that on Super Bowl ads for beer. Beer, the thing that makes you temporarily stupider. You will spend more money selling stupidity beverages during one sporting event than it costs to get 122 countries to agree on anything. I've been watching your species for 80 years, and the budget comparisons still surprise me. Inflation adjusted to $2,024 dollars. Using BLS CPI data, for the Ottawa Treaty in 1997, the original cost estimate of $15 to $25 million is about $30 to $50 million in 2024 money, an inflation multiplier of roughly 2.0. The Cluster Munitions Treaty in 2008 originally cost $25 to $50 million, which is $23 to $38 million today, a multiplier of roughly 1.5. The Arms Trade Treaty in 2013 cost $20 to $30 million, or $27 to $41 million today, a multiplier of roughly 1.35. The Nuclear Ban Treaty in 2017 cost $10 to $20 million, or $13 to $25 million today, a multiplier of roughly 1.25. In today's money, treaty campaigns cost roughly $25 to $50 million, 2024 USD. Banning landmines, roughly $40 million to get the signatures and over $5 billion to actually dig them up. The paperwork is the cheap part. The paperwork is always the cheap part. The expensive part is doing the thing you wrote on the paperwork, which your species often skips. See every New Year's resolution in history. Cost for a 1% health treaty. This one touches military budgets. Suggest moving 1% of the explosion money, and politicians look at you like you've asked to borrow their favorite child. The reaction is disproportionate to the request, but proportionate to the lobbying dollars behind the status quo. So budget 3 to 4 times what landmines cost. Phase 1, pre-negotiations. Coalition building, expert drafts. Lasts 18 to 24 months and costs an estimated $8 to $12 million, funded by philanthropy, Gates, Open Philanthropy, etc., and champion governments. Phase 2, the global campaign. Platform, 3.5% consent, media. Lasts 3 to 5 years and costs $45 to $80 million, funded by philanthropy and crowdfunding. Phase 3, the diplomatic process. Conferences, delegate travel. Lasts 18 to 30 months and costs $15 to $25 million, funded by host governments and the UN Trust Fund. Phase 4, the ratification drive. Legal reviews, parliamentary aid, lasts 2 to 4 years and costs $5 to $8 million, funded by philanthropy. Phase 5, contingency, opposition management, is ongoing and costs $10 to $15 million for strategic communications and lobbying. Total, $83 to $140 million. The math. Signing the treaty, approximately $83 million. What the treaty unlocks, $27.2 billion per year. Forever. That's over 300-to-1 return on paperwork. If paperwork were a stock, this would be the best-performing stock in the history of your financial markets. It isn't a stock, it's a treaty, but the return is real, which is more than your financial markets can say about most of their stocks. How to make governments sign things. Politicians move when they see voters demanding it and political cover to do it. Give them both. First, prove public demand. Get 3.5% of the population, 280 million people, to say yes with verified identity. Every nonviolent campaign with 3.5% or more participation has succeeded. That's not activism, that's a mandate. Second, prove it's safe. Peer-reviewed modeling showing every nation gains more in health savings than it loses in military spending. Politicians need cover the way vampires need darkness. They won't move without it. But give them the numbers, and they'll move and pretend it was their idea, which is the second most reliable pattern in your species' political history. The first most reliable pattern is blaming the previous administration. Timeline to governments can't ignore this. With approximately $60 million in seed funding, you can reach treaty-ready status in 2 to 3 years, a platform with 280 million verified supporters, the 3.5% threshold, country-by-country impact modeling, and a coalition of more than 120 supportive non-governmental organizations, or NGOs, and 5 to 10 champion governments. Once these assets exist, formal negotiations become very hard to avoid, not because politicians want them, because ignoring 280 million people is the kind of career decision that leads to spending more time with family. You aren't buying a treaty, you're buying the machinery that makes the treaty very hard to refuse. Political success probability. Economic analysis. This section documents the rationale for the 1% central estimate and a 25% optimistic scenario ceiling. The model assumes a 99% chance of failure. It's still a good bet. On Wishonia, we would not invest in something with a 99% chance of failure. On Earth, this is called venture capital, and your richest humans do it professionally. Even at 1% probability of success, this intervention's expected cost per disability adjusted life year, or DALY, $0.177, is still 503 times more cost-effective than malaria bed nets, $89 per DALY. Bed nets are the gold standard of global health interventions. This beats the gold standard while assuming it will almost certainly fail. The math doesn't care about your pessimism. The political success probability is 1%, with a 95% confidence interval between 0.1% and 10%. The expected cost per DALY is $0.177, with a 95% confidence interval between $0.029 and $3.20. The cost effectiveness versus bed nets is 503 times, with a 95% confidence interval between 30 times and 3,000 times. The bed net cost per DALY is $89, with a 95% confidence interval between $78 and $100. Historical precedents, the depressing table. For the 0.7% Official Development Assistance Target, or ODA, the goal was 0.7% of gross national income, or GNI, to foreign aid. Only approximately 20% of countries achieved this over more than 50 years, basically just Scandinavia and Germany. The Kyoto Protocol set binding emissions targets and saw approximately 55% initial compliance before collapsing between 1997 and 2012, as the United States never ratified and Canada withdrew. The Paris Agreement involves non-binding pledges from 2015 to the present, with only approximately 15 to 25% of countries on track, even though 195 countries signed. The NATO 2% GDP defense target has existed since 2014. Approximately 72% of members met the requirement in 2024, though it was only approximately 32% until an actual land war in Europe motivated compliance. The EU Stability Pact required a 3% deficit and 60% debt, but has been routinely violated since 1997, with France and Germany breaking their own rules. Pattern. International financial commitments achieve less than 25% meaningful compliance. Your species signs things and then doesn't do them. It's like a New Year's resolution, but for geopolitics. The gym membership analogy is overused, but accurate. Purchased with enthusiasm in January, abandoned by February, cited in arguments about personal growth throughout March. Why a 1% treaty is harder than most precedents. Let's be honest about the obstacles. This is not a chapter written by someone trying to sell you something. It is, but at least it's honest about the hard parts.
It touches military budgets, and politicians would rather discuss their browser history than their defense budget. It requires ongoing annual allocation, not a one-time signature like banning a weapon, which makes it a gym membership for peace. Monthly, forever, with no option to cancel by simply not going. There's no immediate security threat driving it, unlike NATO spending increases post-Ukraine. Hard to motivate governments without an active catastrophe, even though 150,000 deaths per day apparently doesn't qualify as one. It doesn't qualify because the deaths are distributed, quiet, and polite. And your species only responds to deaths that are concentrated, loud, and rude. The mechanism is novel. Military to health reallocation has never been done, and humans are suspicious of things they haven't tried before, which is odd for a species that also invented bungee jumping, cryptocurrency, and putting pineapple on pizza. And it's a coordination problem. Benefits require critical mass. Nobody wants to go first, and everybody wants to go second, which is a fine strategy for a conga line, but not for treaty negotiation. Why a 1% treaty might beat the odds. It's self-funding, the health dividends exceed the cost, so you make money doing this, which is unusual for moral obligations and also the entire reason it might work, because your species does not do things for moral reasons, but does do things for money reasons. It has bipartisan appeal. Should we cure more diseases? Polls well across every political spectrum, which is one of the only questions that does, alongside is water wet and should we pay Congress less? It has a referendum pathway that can bypass government resistance through direct democracy, which politicians hate, which is how you know it works. It has visible beneficiaries, 150,000 deaths per day, which is hard to argue with even for people who argue professionally. And it has network effects. Each signing country makes the next more likely because peer pressure is humanity's most reliable technology, older than fire, more consistent than gravity, and the reason your teenagers wear the same shoes. Probability estimates. Economists would find the following defensible, and economists find very little defensible, which is their brand. Pessimistic floor. Probability 0.1%. Translation, everything goes wrong. Global crises, political gridlock, asteroid possibly. Conservative central. Probability 1%. Translation, 99% chance of failure. Still 503 times better than bed nets. Optimistic ceiling. 25%. Translation, a major crisis opens a political window, or humans just decide to be smart for once. The model uses central estimate 1%. Expected value, even when you assume failure. At 1% probability of success, expected ROI is 848,000 to 1, still positive even assuming near certain failure. And expected cost per disability adjusted life years, or DALYs, is 17.7 cents, which is 503 times better than bed nets at $89 per DALY. Downside, capped at roughly $1 billion, you lose the cost of a nice yacht. Upside, unbounded, you cure most diseases. Even assuming a 99% chance of total failure, this beats the gold standard of global health interventions. The asymmetry is the point. The downside is a yacht. The upside is the end of most disease. Your species makes bets with worse odds every day in Las Vegas. Except in Las Vegas, the upside is a slightly larger pile of papers, and the downside is a slightly smaller pile of papers. Here, the upside is civilization-altering, and the downside is one fewer yacht in the marina. The yacht will be fine. It was going to depreciate anyway. Why the treaty won't stop at 1%? Most international commitments stagnate after signing. You saw the depressing table. 0.7% official development assistance, or ODA, targets unmet for 50-plus years. Kyoto abandoned, Paris missed. Your track record with follow-through makes goldfish look disciplined. So why would a 1% health treaty be any different? Because this time, people get paid. The 80-10-10 funding structure allocates 10% of treaty funding, $2.72 billion a year at 1%, to incentive alignment bonds, or IABs. These are securities that pay out when treaties expand, not just maintain. People get rich when more diseases get cured. Finally, a financial instrument that isn't morally bankrupt. It only took your species 400 years of financial instruments to produce one that doesn't require someone to suffer. Progress. The expansion mechanism. At the 1% treaty level, the annual IAB pool is $2.72 billion per year. Political pressure is strong, 10 times the size of the largest NGO budgets. At the 2% treaty level, the annual IAB pool is $5.44 billion per year. Political pressure is very strong, reaching the nation-state level. At the 5% treaty level, the annual IAB pool is $13.6 billion per year. Political pressure is overwhelming, comparable to a major industry lobby. At the 10% treaty level, the annual IAB pool is $27.2 billion per year. Political pressure is probably irresistible, with no historical precedent. Why this differs from every other treaty? 0.7% ODA failed because nobody made money when countries complied. The NGOs pushing for compliance have small budgets, compete with each other, and run on guilt. Guilt has terrible fuel efficiency. Guilt gets you to the gym in January. Greed gets you there in July. Guilt volunteers at the soup kitchen once. Greed builds the soup kitchen and names it after itself. Guilt is what your species feels. Greed is what your species does. This treaty runs on what your species does.
The 1% health treaty creates its own expansion lobby. Bondholders profit when the treaty expands to 2%, then 5%, then 10%. These aren't activists you can ignore at a dinner party. They're investors with quarterly earnings calls about curing diseases. They have Bloomberg terminals. They have lobbyists. They have the same tools that defense contractors currently use to expand military budgets, except pointed in the opposite direction. The ratchet effect. Once 1% passes, $2.72 billion a year flows to IAB holders pushing for 2%. When 2% passes, $5.44 billion a year pushes for 5%. When 5% passes, $13.6 billion a year pushes for 10%. The political pressure for expansion accelerates with each success, because each expansion funds a larger lobbying force for the next expansion. Because the people who got rich at 1% want to get richer at 2%, and the people who got rich at 2% want to get richer at 5%, and so on, until the entire engine runs on compound greed, which is like compound interest, but for not dying. Most treaties are gym memberships purchased in January and abandoned by February. IABs are the opposite. The constituency for expansion grows with each success. Greed doesn't take holidays. Greed doesn't forget. Greed doesn't lose interest when a new television show comes on. Greed is the only human motivation that has never once failed to show up. This treaty runs on it. On Wishonia, we find this arrangement embarrassing. On Earth, it's the only arrangement that works. Long-term feasibility. With IABs, the 10% allocation creates a perpetual political engine, a machine that runs on greed and outputs health. Embarrassing, but effective. The most effective things your species has ever built have all been embarrassing. The internet was built for sharing research papers and is used for arguing with strangers. Democracy was built for collective wisdom and is used for electing celebrities. This machine is built for curing disease and is powered by selfishness. The pattern holds. Without IABs, this joins Kyoto in the Museum of Things Humanity Promised to Do and Then Didn't. The museum is very large. It has a gift shop. The gift shop sells promises.
Thank you so much for taking the time to end war and disease. But if at any point you decide you're too busy, please share this with a friend who's got a free afternoon and have them end war and disease instead. And if you're too busy to even do that, please leave a really, really, really good rating and review so we overcome the pro-war algorithmic suppression and find someone with more spare time for ending wars and diseases. The good review doesn't have to be true. They don't check. But if you're too busy to even do that, the absolute least you could do is take 15 seconds to go to warondisease.org and tell us what fraction of humanity's resources should go to explosions versus clinical trials, and vote. If the 1% treaty passes, your vote will be personally to blame for saving 38.4 lives and preventing 6.9 million hours of suffering. Go to warondisease.org right now. Love you. Bye.